Welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack podcast, tearing you apart Royal Commission style. We're in round, I have no idea what round we're in. I have no idea what day it is. We're in a pandemic. It's footy galore over the next 20 odd days. Get your helmets on. Ben Casanelli with you. I'm joined by K-Rock's chief, Tom King.
Hello, Benny.
What's the date? What's the day?
It's Thursday.
Right.
Because, it's July 23, apparently.
Because you did ring me the other day and suggested to me that we were going to be on air at 4 o'clock on a Wednesday for a Geelong game.
Yes, correct.
Oh, the world has gone mad.
So it's Geelong and North Melbourne on August 5 or something like that off the top of my head. It's going to be, wow.
At least we're playing footy, King.
Correct.
And look,
it's going to look very different in terms of team selection and the like, because teams are coming off 4 and 5 day breaks.
Well, I was going to bring that up, and I know I haven't been of this thinking until of more recent times. Remember when Dennis Cometti said that there would be an asterisk next to this season, and then a number of coaches came out and said, oh no, it'll be a great flag, you know, there'll be so many hurdles and barriers to overcome.
Here's another hurdle.
Yeah, I mean, I'm starting to think, though, that there will be a bit of an asterisk next to the season.
Which tells me Geelong will probably win it now.
Well, I don't think Geelong will win it. I hope they do, but I just don't think they've quite got the... They haven't got enough bases covered, the Cats. But we can talk about that.
Why is there an asterisk?
Well, because I think the number of home games now that teams will play at home, like West Coast and Fremantle.
Yep.
Now, I know they're trying to get them some games potentially at the back end.
They will get it. They'll leave Perth.
They're still going to play, what, 7 or 8 in a row at home?
Yeah, but they played 7 or 8 in a row.
The other thing,
away,
too, is that if you have a key player, and I'm just using the Cats as an example with Joel Selwood, in a normal season might miss 2 weeks.
Yep.
Potentially now might miss 4 or 5 games.
As in games, yep.
Yeah, that becomes an asterisk because that's not a normal season.
Mm.
So if you have 3 or 4 players who are all injured at the one time and in a normal season would miss 1 or 2 weeks or miss 3 or 4, whoever wins the flag, good on them. I'm not poo-hooing the season, but I just think that we...
I will always talk about...
I think there's reasons to look back on it and say, I'm not sure that was all 100% fair. And the way that it's all worked out, it's never going to be 100% fair. But I am coming around to the thought that there should be a little mark next to it saying, West Coast played 8 games at home and these players missed more games than they should have because we had to cram games in. So I just think a whole lots of factors are adding up to the fact that I think there will be a little dot point next to the year.
But at least...
We're playing footy.
We're playing footy. And I suppose too, and like it was 100-odd years ago, there was a 4-team competition. Fitzroy finished on the bottom of the ladder after the home and away and then won the premiership because all 4 played finals. Over time... People don't remember that they won.
They drafted well, though.
They drafted well. People don't remember.
Do you remember that guy they got in?
No, I don't.
Terry Tibbs.
Terry Tibbs.
They got Terry and he was a star.
Apparently
he started the combine too that year.
It will still count as a premiership in the
Yeah, look, it'll still count. But I am, as we go, as each week picks up steam or lets out steam, I am finding reasons to think that there will be... It's not going to be fair, and I think it's going to be unfair to the point where it's going to advantage some teams that potentially go on, like I think West Coast now, are in the box seat to go on. They win their next... I don't know if West Coast will lose at home.
No.
So they win eight straight.
See, I reckon Collingwood beat them on Sunday.
I don't.
I like Collingwood. I actually think Collingwood... Right now...
I hope you're right, but I think West Coast are at home with the crowd there going off their chops.
Yeah,
it's a big advantage.
Yeah, it is. But I was...
Let's say Collingwood... I think Collingwood are the only team that potentially could beat them there.
Yep. Port Adelaide.
So they win 8 straight, West Coast. What would that make them? You're good on the facts and figures. Are they 4-3?
That will make them 9-3. Yeah.
So they only need to win probably...
One more.
to be top four?
Maybe two.
They can absolutely fashion their list.
If you're 11 and 10 and 7 gets you in, 12 and 5 gets you top
so
four.
So they will be going hell for leather now to win as many games as they can. Every team would be, but because they're at home, there's a huge advantage for them. If they can get to that, if they do have to travel for three or so games at the back end, they can potentially fashion their list and not take all the players on that because it doesn't matter.
No.
So that, and that, you know, I just can't see that as a... I mean, and then others will say, well, people could do, the teams could still do that if they were 18 and 2 and 3 games clear.
Mm.
Yes, but I don't think that playing 8 games in a row at home prior to that would be the prescript to, the prescript, I don't even know a word, is it?
Postscript.
No, postscript's past, but I'm saying that if you're 18 and 2, you're not going to have played 8 games at home.
No.
In the lead up to getting to 18 and 2.
Well, unless you're Richmond.
Anyway, I just don't want West Coast to win it. It's pretty clear, isn't it? I hate them.
Do you?
With the passion.
92 and 94
No,
still.
I don't care about that. I was there, both those games, and I sat through them till the end. 95, I got left at 3-quarter time.
That was Carlton.
I was refreshing with monstrous bubbly waters by halfway through that. And we were 800 points down.
Yes.
When Greg Williams outmarked Stephen Hanley, I threw my record over the thing at the MCG in the old, what was it? You were good with the stands. What was that old members sort of stand there, that the three-tier next to the...
The Olympics, the old, the Ponsford stand behind the goals, or the Olympic stand going down towards the Punt Road end?
Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't the Cain Tanay stand. I know that. It was one of those stands I was in. I threw my record. I thought we are going to get absolutely flogged here, and we did, unfortunately.
Yeah,
they were pretty good that year, the Blues, but geez, Geelong were putrid that day.
Nah, they were. Yeah. Who did they beat in the prelim? They touched up Richmond in the prelim.
At Waverley. I was there that day too. Strides down stuff. Gaz was on fire. I thought, here we go. We're a champ. And then Stephen Hanley.
See, what did Carlton had lost two in a row in about round 6 and 7?
Yeah, and
they'd won 17 straight or something like that.
They were pretty good. But anyway, it was disappointing. Stephen Hanley, Greg Williams. That was like...
If Greg Williams had never gone to Sydney, how many flags would the Cats won through the late
80s? Yeah, they might have won a few. But I still...
Williams giving it to Couch.
I can't tell that story because I'm in trouble.
Williams giving it to Couch, who then puts it down the throat of Gary Ablett.
Oh, how good was that?
Gaz might have kicked 200 one year.
I've mentioned this. I don't know if I've mentioned it. I probably have on the Cat Attack podcast. But Gary Ablett was the only player. Mm. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't say. Paul Couch, RIP, he was the only player to be fitted. And you've heard this before, Kingy. You know what he was fitted with, don't you? He was fitted with a pair of Gary goggles. So he used to put them on. The ball would go up in the middle. Just before you'd swim, he'd just pop them on.
Yep.
And then he'd get the ball out of the middle and he'd look up and they just zoned in on Gary. And he'd kick it to Gary Lace out.
I was going to say, more often than not, he hit him.
Oh, Gaz's eyes used to be like that man in the boat in Caddyshack when Couch had it. He was a phenomenal player, Paul Couch.
Yeah.
He was as slow as treacle and he never got caught.
No.
Because he had a really good sidestep.
Yep.
And he couldn't kick on his right. Everyone knew where he was going.
They still didn't go.
That was bizarre. He was one of the... He reminds... He's quicker than Couch, but Scott Pendlebury has a bit of that about him.
Yep.
Not quick, but never gets caught.
But guess what? Paul Couch didn't have a basketball background.
No, he didn't. He didn't. He was a bloody good player.
And if he did, the commentators didn't mention it every third possession.
He was a gun player. It's funny how those left-footers can sometimes... Well, the players who can get away with being slow or slowish, considered slowish at AFL level, all have a great sidestep.
Yep.
Sam Mitchell was another one. Great sidestep. So as the instinct for when a player gets the ball, I think, is for every player to move forward.
Yep.
But the person like Mitchell, Couch, Pendlebury, I'm trying to think of others off the top of my head.
Bontempelli can do it.
Yeah, Bontempelli's probably a bit quicker, but yeah, he does do that. They move laterally.
Yep.
So it buys them that extra 0.5 of a second.
Yep.
And when you've got skills like Couch.
Michael Voss was very good at it too.
Yeah, he was also a bulldozer too. If he didn't like you, just run over the top of you.
Sometimes he wanted the contact.
Yeah, he loved the contact.
Because what was going to happen is the bloke tackling or doing the bumping was going to come off. Scott Burns was one of the rare ones that actually...
He was a missile, wasn't he?
Oh, he was just a 178-centimetre ball of muscle.
He was more than 178, wasn't he?
Oh, he wasn't overly tall.
Oh, I reckon he'd probably taller than you think.
Yeah.
Be 6 foot, wouldn't he? 184.
Okay.
Jimmy was 184. Jimmy Bartel.
Yeah.
Taller than you think. I'm not. 178 lying down.
The Cats are going to have to make three changes, Benny.
Yeah, I know. This is where you're going to miss Selwood. For how many games you're going to miss more than a lot of?
Well, yeah. What was probably your 3 week?
He'll miss five.
We'll probably see him miss four or five.
Yeah, it's that hurts.
It's hard to see him playing. So what are the Cats playing around eight? They've had four scheduled, and they play up until mid-August. Oh, he may get back for the.
Depends how bad it is, and they're not going to let on how bad it is.
No,
it's not great. Hamstring issues last year, hamstring now.
Different though.
I know. Well, it's same leg. Yeah. They're saying it's different, but can you believe
it's
that?
It's a different spot.
How do you know that?
Because the other one was No. The other one was related, was lower and gave him knee issues.
Right. This one's on a bit higher, was it?
Yeah, I believe so.
Well, that's sort of a positive and a negative, but it's not great.
No.
At his stage of his career, given he's carried... his hamstrings are always... I'm surprised his shoulders haven't given out because he's carried the team for so long. But, yeah, look, that hurts. Mitch Duncan back, Tom Stewart back.
Yes.
Well, that helps. Those guys can be a little... They'll probably be a little bit rusty.
Yeah, especially... Well, probably not Duncan as much.
Well, he missed a lot of the preseason, didn't he? True. I know that was 1,000 years ago.
Yeah, but he was in good nick when he came back.
Yeah, true. So hopefully he can come back and play a part because they need him. And surely Cat fans get to see the old Chucky Constable what day are the Cats playing? I forgot. Monday.
They're on Monday night.
Are they coming on just after Peter? Is Peter Hitchin going to throw like the quarter time huddle?
Different channel.
Oh, is it one of the,
actually, we're a Fox game on Monday night.
Oh, is it? So does that mean they'll be doing the news? And so just as they're releasing the latest figures from the pandemic, the Cats will be bouncing the ball.
That's a 10 past 8 bounce.
What were the latest figures?
Today in Victoria was 403, I think.
Jesus. We need to get out. It's pretty easy. Just stay inside. Mm. What? I tell you what, the Cat Attack podcast listeners, surely they're up and about after last week.
Because? I
tipped him into Glassy Miss at 8 clams. Any punter who didn't have a little nibble on that should be ashamed. She lifted off the mat. It was fantastic. So she's going around again, I think, next Wednesday at Bendigo. Okay. So I'd be, though I haven't seen the fields.
Up in grade?
Yeah. No, yes, up in grade slightly and up in distance, which suits. Those who saw the run will know she wants more ground. She lifted herself off the canvas.
What did she go over, the 14?
She went over the 14 and she looked gone at the 400.
So she go to the mile
and then she just lifted.
She go to the mile and a half now.
No, she go to the mile. So she'll go to the 1600 at Bendigo.
Yep.
And then that might be it because her three-year-old season will be over and they might just put her in the paddock and bring her back for some riches. I'm not sure she's up to some riches.
I was going to say something around late October.
No, I think her best... I don't know. You never know with horses. They keep improving like footballers, but I think she'll be a nice Saturday, potentially a nice Saturday city grade mare, which is...
What about you throw into the old Oaks trial at Geelong on Cup Day?
No, well, she'll be four, so she won't be allowed to run.
No, she'll be...
Because you've got to be three. Yeah, so there is another horse they trial Lee Rose. Wait till she gets back. So she's another one I've got a little share of. And
oh, really?
She gets a little bit of arousal levels below the belt, Kingy. She's got a little bit of something about her.
Yeah, right.
So get your helmets on there, but she's having a rest at the minute.
So are you happy for the... So obviously the changes, we will lose Selwood, Clark.
I'm not happy about that, but yeah, we've got no choice.
But happy with what will change.
And Constable in for Selwood as a ball winner. I mean, he's not going to be Selwood, but he's an inside ball winner.
Who replaces Ablett? Well, no, sorry, that's a silly question. Who plays the Ablett role? Is that more open to Fogarty?
To get Lee Brown?
Well, he's the Lee Brown role.
To play the Gary Ablett role.
The anvil. Brady Rawlings pulling that out on K-Rock footy the other night. Is Fogarty better because he's potentially got the better golf sense?
I don't even know what he looks like. It's been so long since he played at senior level. Like, is it? I don't know. I wouldn't have, honestly don't know. Is he going well?
I believe so, yeah.
Has he trained, like, for a... do you know what?
Yes, yeah, put
Cockatoo in. Like, when what are they... If he just keeps training and playing, put him in.
Yeah, might as well.
Let him rip.
Yep.
Pull the cord.
Yep.
Like you're on the mower. You just bought a new mower and you just go, and it starts first pop.
And see how far
it... And if at halftime you pull the thing, it's going to pull it 8 times to get him going, then you're in trouble.
Let's see if it...
Is that a ridiculous...
It's not...
What's against it? I mean, how long can he train for? Are they waiting for him to break down at training? I mean, playing.
Well, Chris Scott's facing the media tomorrow. I'll just say, look, I'll ask the question. Go. What is stopping you from playing the Kai Cockatoo?
Yeah, because it seemed. Am I right in saying he's trained for 3 months?
Yeah, well, he did. He was fine through the shutdown, and I think he's done everything
uninterrupted.
Basically,
played all their scratch matches, and played. I mean,
he's built his minutes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I would have surely by now he's fit to play.
I reckon they want to get one more scratchy into him.
Well, are they playing one this week?
I believe so.
Against
Collingwood.
Geez, they play Collingwood a lot. They'll be going out to dinner, those two VFL teams.
They can't, Benny.
No, that's right. They're not allowed to. Oh, they'd be out by now, wouldn't they?
No, Saturday they come out.
Yeah. I honestly, you're bringing back in Duncan and Stewart, two experienced players. Yep. You're probably bringing in, you're bringing in Constable.
Yep.
Hopefully. I mean, I'd like to see him play. Mm-hmm. Inside ball winner. You got Duncan in as your outside midfielder.
Yep.
You're bringing in Constable in as your inside midfielder.
Yep.
So that sort of, balances that out. And then you've got Stewart coming into defence. And you've got...
So there'll be a bit of a shuffle of the back line.
Yeah, well, that's a concern because I don't know where you shuffle some blokes to.
So
we're playing...
moved up the ground a bit slightly.
Frio.
Yep.
Do you need Taylor? I know I keep saying it every week. They've got Tabana.
Yep.
Who else? That's it.
Is McCarthy playing?
I think so. He didn't play last week, did he? They don't have a second tall player. Oh, they play lob down there.
Yep.
Top spin. Top spin lob. And anyone who wasn't listening, years ago, we had Dean Brogan on. We went up to GWS, and I think Dean was he came from a basketball background. I'm not sure he did successfully well at his HSC, though, because in the pregame, I suggested to him, this is when the Cats are playing the Giants. I think it was in Canberra, actually. No, it might have been in Canberra. So Dean Brogan was assistant coach of the GWS Giants, and I was sort of, as I do, asking something, it's a bit different rather than, tell us about your process and structure.
Irreverent.
No, it wasn't irreverent. I said to him, so I think lob must have been back in. And I said, so you got the old top spin lob back in. And he chuckled. He goes, yeah, from cricket. From cricket. Cricket. No, tennis. That'd be tennis. I didn't say that. But it was, we all looked at each other in the box thinking, cricket, right.
Well, top spin is you can bowl a top spinner.
Yeah, but top spin is surely top spin lob is tennis.
Yeah,
so anyway, so the Dean failed that test of the K-Rock sort of funny test, litmus test. He was failed miserably. But I don't know. The club would know more than us. We just speculate from the outside, but chuck him in. Chuck him in. Why not? He's a playmaker. You got shortened quarters. He doesn't have to play as many minutes. Play him in bursts. Maybe he gets a bit longer on the pine than some of the others, but that's you're capable of doing that with the shortened quarters. He's got some serious, and he's the sort of kid that, he's probably going to be, he's going to be rusty, obviously, but his rusty is still cracking into bodies and hurting someone.
And find the footy.
And, well, he's probably not going to find a huge amount of it, but I guarantee you he will hurt someone.
Yeah.
From the opposition, they will look up and think, who the hell was that? So I say get him in there. Let's start a petition.
A petition?
Yes.
Let's start a
petition. Well, Chris got to give you some horseshit answer about, we're doing this and that, and we've got to worry about what he ate at the buffet, and, I think he fell in the pool the other day, and all that sort of crap they go on with. They won't tell you. But do you agree with me that he can only train so much?
Yep. Yeah, I actually...
And I don't know that his form in the VF, all those scratch matches, is that any great? Does he need to be dominating those to get a game?
I wouldn't have thought.
I would have thought he's the sort of player
apparently, last week, they had intra-club, so I think it was 20 blokes left over, sort of a 10-on-10. You can't really read much into it, but apparently he was flying in that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd probably get a kick in that. Maybe not.
Settle. All right, so three changes.
Yeah, I want four.
You want four. Who's the fourth player out? Oh, I know who you want out of the side.
No, he's not going to go out, but yeah, I'd like him out.
Somebody asked about him actually on the
No, well, you've got to have a quick think.
So Catters28 actually asks, what are you wondering what your thoughts are on how Jack Stevens has been going this year? Catters28, I'll leave you in the hands of Ben Casanilia.
Yeah, he's been horrible, unfortunately. Horrible.
I think you're harsh.
He's been horrible. He's been absolute. What did he offer in against Collingwood? Absolutely nothing. It's been a disaster so far.
Yep. But does he just...
Have you seen him get one clear possession?
Rarely.
Yeah, there you go. So you've got a playmaker who's supposedly... If I hear that he's a four-time best and fairest once more, I am going to... Like, my pants are going to come off and I'm going to take my belt out and I'm going to whack someone around the cranium with it. Because it's just... I'm sick of hearing about it. I don't care what he did in the past. What's he doing now? Absolutely nothing. He's not... He doesn't look fit. And he supposedly come in as sort of a playmaker. And you can't... I can't even remember one possession where he didn't have a bloke draped on his back because he can't find the ball. He's got no fitness.
Can I fire some questions at you?
Get rid of Stephen out. Get Cockatoo in. That's it. Put that to old Chiefy. What about... Someone, what about, did you see the interview with old Francis Evans?
No, I didn't watch it.
Do you think it's strange? Mm-hmm. If I know he's only an emergency, right? He's not in the team, but he's an emergency. He's a young kid. He's busting his boiler, probably, to do everything right. And he's going to the buffet and thinking, geez, I'd love to launch into that vanilla slice, but I better not because I'm trying to get a game. If you're an emergency, so it means you're getting closer. Clearly, that's a bit of a tick from the coaching staff that you're doing everything right. You're getting closer to getting a game, potentially.
Yep.
As a coach, what a great moment for the coach to be able to go and say to the kid, look, you're going to be an emergency this week. Wouldn't you have thought? Bit of sort of building, bit of relationship stuff. Have a coffee. Look, you know, this is where you're at. We're going to make you an emergency this week. It's a good step. You know, clearly you're in the hub. They can go and do all that. Yeah. Who do you reckon told Francis Evans that he was going to be an emergency?
Shane O'Brien.
No.
Simon Lloyd.
No.
Nigel Lappin.
No.
Matthew Scarlett.
No.
Corey Enright.
No. He's still not there.
Is it anybody on the coaching staff?
Well,
James Raleigh.
Yes. Like, please. That doesn't happen at local footy. That is rubbish.
This isn't local footy.
Exactly my point. The coach... No. This is where we just let ourselves down.
You want some questions?
Yep. What do we got?
All the way from LA or San Diego or wherever he is these days.
Oh, let's hope he's okay. Because did you see the tweet that Donald Trump saying how well America was handling there?
No. Oh. No, I tried. I'm not.
No, he sent out a tweet saying, you know, America, we're handling this so well in relation to how the rest of the world are having so many problems. Then they showed the cases each day in the countries. Mm-hmm. So Germany was like 580, Italy was 190, Australia was 400 and something, America was 62,000.
Wow.
Wow. Imagine, I've said to this couple of people, imagine you've had a hard day, you know, on the HB pencil or whatever it is you do. You might have had the jackhammer out all day. Or you might have just been a public servant and done absolutely nothing. But you get home and you're on your couch and you've just cracked your first, you've cracked your first can and you're looking for inspiration from your leader of your country and you're thinking, I need something. I need some positive. I need something that sounds sort of sensible and logical. And he comes on. Oh, my God. You know what you do, Kingy? You'd have 14 more cans.
Just to ease the pain.
Oh, correct. And you wouldn't get to bed till 2 and then you wouldn't be at work the next day.
Drink responsibly.
Yeah.
The Pies outplayed us and clearly and deserved the win. But how can a 3-1 ratio of free kicks be acceptable as an umpiring outcome? Just pay them both ways and the footy public could accept it, in my honest opinion. The umpiring wasn't great.
No, it wasn't. No. Cat's got the...
Bloke in number 18 had an absolute stinger.
Razor, you know, it's most weeks. He wants to be too much part of it, unfortunately, and has been doing that for years. But, look, Geelong had the umpiring didn't favour them, and, you know, that unfortunately happens in footy. You have those games. Hopefully they get their turn where the umpiring does favour them. I mean, I actually, and I said it on K-Rock on the weekend, I actually thought Geelong did pretty well. Geelong had they played quite well. No, they were beaten. They were beaten by a good team. They lose their captain. The umpiring didn't go. There was also it was one of those nights where 7 or 8 50-50 things didn't go their way. You know, the ball bounced that way instead of that way.
What did they get back to? They
got back to 8 points in the last quarter. I actually thought it was a good effort. Yep.
A very good side. Although Collingwood are missing...
Yeah, Sidebottom and Howe.
Yep.
And a couple others.
Langdon.
Yeah, they are. They've probably got more depth than the Cats. Yep. And, you know, they've also got a dominant ruckman.
Yep.
And they've also got a dominant defender
yep.
in Darcy Moore. And as I sort of mentioned too on The Rock during the week or last weekend, that it seems that particularly the better sides, there's always one or two midfielders from the opposition that dominate. And Pendlebury and Treloar and Adams, they had it, I think it was just off the top of my head, at least close to 90 times each and probably about 15 clearances.
Yep. Treloar likes playing against Geelong.
Well, they don't tag you.
Great.
And then Adams, particularly early in the game, Adams helped set the tone. He was really good early. And you just, I don't know, there seems to be, love to just be able to put someone to someone, but Geelong don't seem to do it. But I actually thought the Cats played quite, you know, did their best. And it actually wasn't a bad effort, albeit a beaten one.
Yep. Daz Bronco says, no excuse, surely Chook gets a look in.
Yep.
We think that will be the same.
Is Daz safe, do you reckon?
I hope so.
Do you know that the NFL starts this week, King? Well, it doesn't start, but the training camps.
Yep.
28th. So they're saying now the NFL, all they're going to have fans, but they have to wear masks,
right,
which is quite extraordinary. But it's Joe Burrow. We're only 5 days away from seeing footage. Well, I don't know how that's going to work, but surely they'll be able to sneak a bit of footage of Joe Burrow at Paul Brown Stadium just hurling the I was going to say the Sharon. I don't think he'd be hurling the Sharon. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if they have the ball. Do they have do they call their ball something?
It's a pigskin.
Yeah. Oh, well, true. So he's going to be throwing it to AJ Green on the gridiron.
How's AJ's Achilles or ankle?
Oh, he's good.
What was it that he did? Like, was it Achilles? Was it
ankle?
Ankle. Yeah.
He could have played last year though.
Yeah.
He just decided not to.
He's
playing this year, Kingy. I know. Look, I got to feel sorry for him. He's been franchise tagged. Do you know how much his franchise tag is for the one season?
Oh, millions.
18. 18 of the best million bucks you've ever seen.
But how many games? Probably. Well, they play 16 regular season games.
Yeah.
Plus playoffs, you hope.
Yeah.
So he's getting a million.
Well, again. Playoff. It's the Bengals.
Yeah. Okay. So he's going to get sort of your 1.1 million a game for 60 minutes of action. And he's not on the field for that whole 60 minutes.
No.
That's incredible.
It is.
Wow.
What about Patrick Mahomes? $500 million.
I did say that.
Holy hell.
The Asava situation got very little last week, but still shows flashes. Needs to keep getting games, but surely form becomes a guide at some point. Can we move Sav to the ruck and bring in Freddie to centre half forward and give Ford a week off? Not that Ford has been bad, just looking to get a little more dynamic in forward 50. Just let Radaglia keep running and jumping at the footy, and it's going to come off, why not?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Who's put that in?
That's Daz.
Oh, Daz. Yeah, no, I agree with that. It's a balance, isn't it? Because I've said, Radaglia, from what we understand, his biggest barrier now is his aerobic capacity. It's not his strong suit, and he's working on it, but I don't know that it's ever... It may get to that point, but some people just genetically are not. I mean, Anthony Rocker.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his aerobic capacity was
minimal,
putrid. Yeah, I mean, he's still a very good player for a long period of time. I just don't. Radaglia is such a burst player. He's his athleticism. If he's fresh and he can run and jump, I think if that's dulled in the ruck. But I agree that he does give you something in the ruck because he likes the physical contact. Yep. Now, if his aerobic capacity is at the point where he can see out 70% game time in the ruck,
wow.
I'm not against that.
No.
But I would like... I just don't think... For the future, this is the fine balance for the Cats. They're trying to win it now because they've recruited every second recycled player on the planet to try and win the flag, right? But you also got to think of the future. So do you want to... Do you want Radaglia to learn his craft as a forward, or do you want him to learn his craft as a ruck, or do you want him just to be, at the moment, playing all over the place, and it ends up stunting his development as a player over time? Because his best is not for another,
50 games.
Yeah, potentially another 2 or 3 years.
Yep.
So it's a really fine balance in teaching him how to play the game and getting those games into him, but they're also trying to win it now, so I don't know. But trying to win it now potentially disrupts his capacity to progress or fast-track his progression.
Cat to the future. Enjoyed the last episode, lads. Thanks very much for the continued efforts in the face of adversity this year. Just for the next episode, had a question about whether statements early in the last episode about playing kids, losing games and getting a good draft pick or two square with later statements in the same episode regarding Sam Simpson and giving kids time to build in the system before exposing them to too much too young. To me, that seems to be having a bet each way on the narrative. So you're talking about that the Cats need to go back to the draft.
Yeah, well, at some point.
And then, but also saying that kids have to spend time developing.
Mm.
I'm not sure where Cats of the Future is going there. I might have might be misinterpreting what he's writing.
Well, I mean, they're going to have to... my point is they're going to have to go back to the draft at some point, because I think that's... Because if you're going to... I think if you're going to sustain a run at a premiership, you need two or three players who have got some serious X factor about them.
Yep.
And you get them in the top five. Yep. You're not getting them at pick 12.
No.
I mean, and people will pick... they'll find a draft where, you know, Bugalugs was bought at, you know, pick whatever. Yep. And that can happen.
Because Isaiah Pickett at pick 12.
Yeah, he's only a little fella, though.
Oh, he's going to be a gun.
Yeah, I agree.
As you said, you're getting
your Max King or your Ben King or your, you know, they're top end. They're real top end talent. Isaac Rankin. All those players there.
Lacocious, Real Anderson.
They're top five.
Yep.
They're not getting them at 12. So if you're... anyway, that's my point. And Geelong can... right where Geelong are at now, getting some guys in, they can run in the VFL because they've got a reasonably strong list. So they're not asking them to play straight away. So now's the time to get them. This year, use your three draft picks, get three top-end players. And if it's all going... when do you... I mean, this... hopefully this is not happening, but some stage you pull a pin on this year.
Yeah, you'll get to a point where you
especially for Geelong, yeah, with three first round draft picks.
Yep.
Yeah, pull a pin.
All right,
abort.
Foxdog 50. Do you guys know any inside info on why Constable hasn't been playing? Even when he got dropped last year, the club said he had to work on a few things. Seriously, there was nothing what he'd done for a kid in his first season playing AFL. I've got as much love for Constable than Cameron Ling does. He had some stuff to work on.
Defensively, I think. He's not quick.
He's not quick, yeah.
I mean, the other thing too is, don't forget that you're trying to fit him into a midfield with Selwood. Now Selwood's out, so here's his chance. Selwood, Dangerfield, Duncan. Who else is in there?
Parfitt.
You know, Ablett gets a little run through there.
Guthrie.
Menegola, Guthrie. Now, I could make a case for him to play instead of Menegola. But Menegola's been pretty good.
It's hard to
fit in, because the other thing about him, about the other than the fact that he can devour a zinger,
he does, hence the nickname.
Yeah, he's very one dimensional, and I'm not knocking him. I'm all for him getting a game, but he is one dimensional. He can only play as an inside midfielder. He doesn't have the speed to play anywhere else. So you've got to play him inside, and he's got to win the ball inside and feed it to blokes on the outside. So there has to be a balance in your midfield for him to be playing, and you've got to have that spot because that's the only spot he can play.
Yep. Kruger, a lot of us here are all aboard the Kruger train. Surely it's time for him to get a game, playing like the Tom Lynch role from Adelaide a few years back when they had a strong forward line, until he has the confidence to be the second main man. Well, that would come down to whether Radigalia went into the ruck and played as the ruckman and they dropped Fort and they went and they gave Kruger a chance.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think that's happening
anymore. And I don't think it's the work, like, having another year under his belt.
No. He's still only 20, 21.
Yeah.
As a kid,
196?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, might be 198.
I don't think there's anything wrong with him just doing 2 years of particularly this year.
Yep.
Because I think... Unless Geelong, as I mentioned, things go pear-shaped for the Cats and they're 5 and 8. Yeah, and it's all going. And then they can chuck those guys in. I'm all for that. But right now, I think that Kruger's probably still just a obviously very much an experimental player, and just keep experimenting with him in the twos, get him in the gym, and just build himself up so that when he hits, hopefully everything returns to normal next year and he's got 2 years of grounding under his belt, and away you go.
Big weekend, Benny. We're going to be here for...
We're going to have
a look at the Giants and Richmond tomorrow night.
Yeah, that'll be a good game.
Eagles and Collingwood Sunday.
Yep.
From the K-Rock Hub.
Yep.
And then Geelong and Freo.
Yeah, well, that's going to be... Are we speaking to Big JL, K-Rock's own?
I've put a request in, haven't heard
Did
back.
Did you haven't heard back? Did you go straight to say, look, text? Did you text him and say, look, I've put a request in?
I should probably do that, shouldn't I?
Because I did text him.
Yes.
I have to, because he's got a good sense of humour, Jason Long.
Yeah, I usually private tweet him just in the, you know, behind the wall there, and just usually just say, well done, and, you know, good luck this weekend and stuff like that. He always gets back.
Yeah, he does.
He hasn't forgotten his roots, K-Rock.
No, he has got, you won't see it on the TV, because he's probably comes across as pretty dour.
It's a very dry sense of
humor. But he actually does like a bit of a laugh. So I've sent him a few. I did send him one tweet in the pre-season saying, you know, hope it's all going well. We don't hear much about you guys over this way, but I trust Anthony Grover's having a massive pre-season. And he texted me back saying, very funny. And then I texted him saying, after they'd beaten St Kilda in an unbelievable game, I said, it'd pretty much be strides off in your household tonight. So he was very excited about that win. What?
Obviously, you were very good last weekend because twice you got told, great question.
Yes, one how from, good was that?
One from Brady Rawlings, one from Simon Lloyd.
I was on.
So have you been working on material for this weekend?
Well, I haven't. Who have we got on?
Dave Matthews joining us tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. Now, we don't ask for Dave Matthews. GWS just goes, oh, it's K-Rock.
That's good. He hasn't forgotten where he's come from.
No, Geelong boy.
Former GFL. And he always has plenty to say. So who else have we got on?
No, that's all that's been confirmed so
far. Okay, so... And then hopefully, who are we doing on the other day? I put my pants on the other way this morning, around the other way. I didn't know what's going
on. West Coast and Collingwood on Sunday, Benny.
Well, that'll be a cracking game. We got three ripping games this week on the Rock.
We have.
Because some of them, and we're privileged to be calling them, so don't get me wrong. But some of the games, even not the ones we're broadcasting, but some of the games have been a little difficult to watch.
Yep.
Do you reckon?
Yes.
My theory on this is, right, that all this crap footy at times that some of the teams are playing and this slow sort of kick it sideways, that ain't going to win a game, is it?
No.
So, over time, will that weed those teams out? In fact, those coaches will get that want to adopt that as their...
Yeah, they'll be in trouble.
Do you reckon?
Potentially.
Do you reckon the game's in trouble?
This is an outlier. This is we can't be making comments about this year and the game being in trouble because of what this year is.
But do you agree that there's probably 50% of the games each round are horrible to watch?
A third. Yeah. I reckon three out of the nine.
But do you reckon you can pick the ones that potentially are? Because I don't know that you can.
No, you don't know until you're into the game. Like Richmond, North Melbourne, people say they really enjoyed that for watching Richmond, but that was a horrible game of footy on Saturday night. But then you got Sydney and Gold Coast, which we were watching in the background while we were bringing pre-game, and that was a great game of footy.
Yeah, and the Melbourne Hawthorn game was pretty average.
Melbourne
were good, but Hawthorn was so poor.
I don't know why, but I actually really enjoy watching Melbourne, and I think it's because of the unpredictability. You just don't know which Melbourne's going to turn up.
That's right.
Well, we'll see you on the weekend, Benny.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be... Big start tomorrow night, so I'll just bring some quality questions to the table for the pre-game.
Hey, Benny, guess what?
What's that?
Jack Stephen won four best and fairest at St Kilda.
Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Noisa dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. Kerr's Hire.com.au.